Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name.
Please be seated.
In our gospel lesson this morning that we just heard read, we see that Jesus was traveling along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew sitting in a boat fishing, and he called out to them and said, "Come, follow me, and I will cause you to become fishers of people." When we read that, we might think that that's kind of strange, that Jesus was just kind of ambling along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees a couple of guys, and he just calls them and says, "Hey, come and follow me." But I suspect that Peter and Andrew, Simon and Andrew really had heard Jesus speak on maybe more than one occasion. When they heard him speak initially, perhaps there was a spark of faith that ignited within them, so that when Jesus comes along the Sea of Galilee and calls them to become his followers, that spark of faith then ignites into a flame of faith, causing them to immediately leave their nets and come and follow Jesus. And we read about Simon and Andrew and James and John. Those were all fishermen. Of course, Simon is the name that Peter had before Jesus gave him the name Peter. But they were just simple fishermen. They weren't trained theologians. They weren't highly educated. They weren't of the upper crust of society. They really weren't anyone of any great renown. And yet, Jesus calls them to become a new type of fishermen. When Jesus called Simon and Andrew, they were no longer going to be focusing on fishing for fish. Now they're going to be focusing on fishing for people. Their priorities were changing. And that's what happens many times when a person comes to Christ. Their priorities begin to change. They begin to focus more on Jesus. They begin to focus more on how they can share him with other people. They begin to realize that maybe he's calling them to a different path, a different way of life. And so when Jesus was ready to ascend to the Father, he told his apostles and disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they had been clothed with power from on high. And so that power, we find out, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had a new boldness and a new courage to go out and begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses. You will be fishing for people." So in order for us to be more effective when we fish for people, perhaps we can follow some of the examples that we learn from these fishermen. One of the things that we learn from them is that there were three main types of fishing that were done back in Jesus' day. One was fishing with large nets that many people were throwing out into the ocean, into the sea to catch fish, and they would bring in a large number of fish. Then there were the smaller nets that were used to catch smaller numbers of fish that perhaps one or two people could use to throw out into the sea. And then there was the other kind of fishing that we think about, that is the pole, the line, the hook, and the bait sort of fishing. And when you use that type of fishing, of course you have to use the right kind of bait. There was a man who was fishing out in the, sea in his boat, and there was a game warden who was also on the lake as well. And as the game warden was watching this man, the guy was lighting sticks of dynamite, throwing them into the water. They were exploding, and then dead fish would come up, and he would scrape them up and put them in his boat. And the game warden saw that and immediately went out in his boat to the other guy's boat, and he pulled up beside him and said, "Hey, what are you doing? I mean, this is against the law to fish like this." And he quoted the statute and began to go on and on and on about how wrong this was. And finally, the other guy just lit a stick of dynamite, handed it to the game warden, and said, "Are you going to fish or are you going to talk?" Well, when we go out to fish, we certainly need to use the right kind of bait. But when we go out to fish, we're trying to interest people in the Lord. And we don't want to cause an explosion. We don't want to leave our efforts dead in the water. We want to use the right kind of bait. But before we can talk about the right kind of bait we must use, we have to first become convinced that we need to share our faith with others. I've met many Anglicans who really kind of believe that it's almost wrong to share your faith with someone else, because it's a more private thing. We just don't impose that on someone else. That we shouldn't really go out of our way to share our faith with anybody else. They almost view it as kind of like being tacky. One of the unpardonable sins of some Anglicans is being tacky. And so they don't want to be tacky at all. Before we can be motivated to fish for people, we have to at least realize that people are perishing without Jesus Christ. That their destination is indeed hell. And we need to realize that if that doesn't motivate us, and if our hearts aren't broken because of that, then we're not going to have much motivation to go out and want to share our faith with others. Certainly, we're never going to be motivated to share the gospel with others and to try to catch fish if we don't realize that they need a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing we know about fishing is that in order for us to be successful in fishing for people, we have to go where the fish are. There was a boy who was walking along the lake, and he saw a man fishing there, and he went up to him and he said, "Sir, how many fish have you caught?" And the guy said, "Well, I haven't caught any yet." And the boy said, "Well, how long have you been fishing here?" And he said, "I've been here about 45 minutes. The kid said, "Well, that's not too bad. There was a guy fishing in that same spot for 2 weeks, and he hadn't caught as much as you haven't caught in 45 minutes. So we need to go where the fish are. And certainly, as we go where the fish are, then we have a better chance of catching some. I play golf on Fridays with a group of between 20 and 50 guys. And we are paired up with different guys each week. And so I have an opportunity to be able to share my faith with these guys every week that I go out there. Because that's kind of where the fish are. Many of these guys don't go to church anywhere. Many of these guys don't believe in God. And so the sea is full of them where I go. So it's important for us to find a place where we might be able to connect with people that are not necessarily attached to the church in any way. Perhaps we might think about joining a neighborhood association. Or perhaps maybe a service organization, or maybe even like a PTA or a gym or some other place like a sports league where we are encountering others that might not necessarily be church people. It's important for us to realize that the places we go might not always bear fruit. Sometimes we go there, we might not be able to get a nibble or anything, and so perhaps we might want to think about changing locations where we're fishing. When we go out to fish, we must also use the right kind of line. And that must be an honest line. We don't want to in any way to misrepresent ourselves or Jesus Christ. We don't want in any way to misrepresent our testimony. We don't want to say, for example, that Jesus set us free from drugs if we never did drugs. We don't want to say anything about what Christ has done for us if that wasn't really the case. It's important for us to be honest when we're talking to others about our faith. There was a Christian comedian by the name of Mike Warnke who was very successful at reaching people for Christ with his testimony. But it turned out that his testimony happened to be false. Many of the things that he shared didn't really happen at all. So it ended up destroying his testimony. So it's important for us when we share our faith to not only use an honest line, but also to try to reach people where they're at, to try to use things that can connect with them. Perhaps sharing things with which the gospel can relate in their lives. When I first came to Christ in really a more powerful way in my life, I wanted to share my faith with others. And there was a friend of mine who really was into the partying scene. That's all he lived for. He lived to party each weekend. And so I was praying about how can I reach this guy? And so I had an opportunity to share with him one day and shared how I used to be into the party scene as well. And I shared with him that the reason why I was doing that was because I felt a real emptiness inside that I was trying to fill. And I shared with him how when I came to Christ, that emptiness was filled and I no longer needed to go to try to find those high experiences in the party scene any longer. And that opened the door for me to then be able to share the gospel with him. Because I used something that he was able to relate to. So perhaps when we're trying to share with others, we can use those lines that are easily relatable with others as we share with them about Jesus Christ. We must also use the right kind of bait, as I shared earlier. One of the best kinds of bait we can use is the bait of a changed life. If our life is truly changed, then our lives will begin to reflect more of the life of Christ. We'll begin to reflect more of the love, the joy, and the peace of Christ. We'll be able to reflect maybe more of an excitement about our faith. And those sort of things will be noticed by those who are not followers of Christ. And perhaps they'll want to know, what makes you different? Why are you acting this way when those around me aren't acting that way? And perhaps that opens the door then for us to be able to share our faith in Christ with them. Certainly, if they lack hope, we can share with them that Christ has brought us a new hope in life. If they lack a purpose in life, we can share with them how Christ has given us a real purpose in living our lives. Another kind of bait we can use is the bait of taking a genuine interest in someone else. We don't want to look at someone as just being another spiritual notch on our gun belt. We want to look at them as someone we really care about, that we really love, and want to share with them as much as we can to help them in their life or to serve them in some way. And in doing so, to let them know that they really matter to us and they matter to God. And that many times can open the door for them to trust us enough for us then to be able to share our story with them, to be able to share the gospel with them as well. We also can ask questions of them to find out where they're coming from spiritually. And as we get answers to those questions, perhaps we can respond with things that relate to the answers that they've given to help them to understand more about the gospel of Christ. The Word of God can also be a great bait to use if we're trying to reach someone, because the Word of God is powerful. It's able to change the hearts of people and the minds of people as they hear the Word of God. There may be people that we encounter that have never heard that God loves them so much that He sent His Son to die for them on the cross to make a way for them to have a home in heaven. They may not realize that it's possible for their sins to be forgiven. They may not realize that God loves them at all. These are things that we can share with them from the Word of God that can help them to realize that there's a God who cares for them and wants to have a relationship with them. Assuming we use the right kind of bait, we must also use the right kind of hook. And that hook, of course, is Jesus Christ. We're not trying to hook people to us. We're not trying to hook people to the church. We're really trying to hook people to Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with bringing people to church. We encourage people to do that. But our goal is not just to get them to church, but also to get them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. We lose our effectiveness when we try to hook them on the church or on an experience or really on anything else other than Christ. As we present the beauty of Christ and what He has done for us and for all of us, then we have a chance for them then to be hooked on Jesus Christ. Now you may say to yourself, well, I know all about the equipment involved in fishing. I know all about the techniques involved. I know all these things. But I really don't want to go fishing. I mean, I'm just not going to be very good at it. I don't have any biblical training. I don't have any real biblical knowledge. You know, I'm afraid if I go fishing, somebody's going to ask me a question and I'm not going to be able to answer it. I don't know the Bible very well. I'm not a good speaker. I'm afraid the fish are going to bite me. I'm afraid that I'm not even sure I like to fish. Some of you are also very unselfish. You really want to say, you know, I'm not going to worry about fishing. I'm going to bring them to Father Roger and let him catch them. And that way, don't worry about that. I mean, certainly I don't want to rob you of the joy of fishing by bringing them to me. If you feel uneasy about fishing for people, join the crowd. We all feel that way. Certainly, that's always going to be the case when we're trying to bring others into faith in Christ. Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet to the people of Israel. Jeremiah said, how can I do that? I'm just a young kid. Nobody's going to listen to me. But God said, I'll give you the words to say, and people will listen to you. Moses was called by God to be the person who would lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said, who am I to go to these people? I mean, I'm a stutterer. You're not going to listen to me. But God said, I will give you the message to say to them, and they will come with you. Gideon was called to be a leader of the people of Israel. But Gideon said, there's no way I could be a leader of these people. But God gave him the ability to do that. St. Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But Paul could have said, you know, nobody's going to listen to me. I used to persecute Christians. I used to put them in jail. Nobody's going to listen to me. But God said, I'm going to use your past life to show my power and my grace to others to whom you'll go. Now, none of us are going to feel comfortable when we go out to try to share our faith with others. But if you want to be a successful fisher of people, you first of all, of course, have to be caught by Jesus Christ and called by him. You have to come into a relationship with him and know that he's your Savior and follow him as your Lord. And as you do so, then he will call you out to become fishers of others. I like what Paul Achtermeyer said. He sums it up this way. Our lives are never the same after contact with Jesus. For one thing, he opens our insight into ourselves. He is dangerous to the way we have lived and the way we want to live. He lets us see dimensions of ourselves that are not pleasant to see. In the light of his grace, the dark corners of our lives come into view. We are forced to admit that we are not what we pretend to be or even what we want to be. With Peter, we must confess that we are sinful people. But that's not the end by any means. Contact with Jesus also means that we have a task before us. Contact with him may change the way we carry out our whole lives. We may not, with Peter, abandon our old vocations, but we will surely carry them on in a new pattern of relationships with our fellow people. Thus, Peter acts out the only response appropriate to contact with Jesus of Nazareth. He, Jesus, must become supremely important in our lives. End quote. If our lives have been changed by Jesus, then surely he can change the lives of anyone with whom we come in contact. In this pandemic climate in which we're in now, we may not have many opportunities to go out where the fish are. We may not have many opportunities to share our faith. But during this time, we can prepare ourselves for that opportunity when it avails us. We avail ourselves of it in the future. When we have the opportunity to go out again and to share our faith with others, we need to be ready to do so. Remember, Jesus said, I will cause you to become fishers of people. The King James Version says, I will make you fishers of men. He will do that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. As we read in the book of Acts, the apostles and disciples really did not go out and share their faith with anyone until after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they went out with a boldness, with a courage, and with an effectiveness that they had as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we want to be effective in our sharing of our faith, we certainly would want to ask Jesus to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we will have that boldness, that courage, and that ability to share the gospel effectively. Also, Jesus didn't say that we have to make people behave before they come to Christ. We don't need to have them get their act together before they come to faith in Christ. Our job is to catch them. His job is to clean them. We don't have to clean them up first before we bring them to Christ. The type of fishing I'm talking about really doesn't require a license. It doesn't even require that you're good at it. You don't have to have a theological or biblical training in order to do so. You simply have to have a love for Jesus Christ and a love for other people enough to want to bring them together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to go out into the world to make disciples of all nations, to help us to share our faith with others. You've called us to realize that everyone with whom we lock eyes matters to you, and they need to hear the good news that you have to offer. Lord, would you give us all the tools that we need to be good fishers of people? Would you give us the things that are required for us to effectively reach our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, and others with whom we come in contact? Ultimately, Lord, help us to remember that you at one time reached out to us and you caused us to come into your kingdom. So, Lord, help us to realize that each person may have that opportunity through our witness to them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.